Thank you so much, Dr. Lyons and Alltech, for inviting me here to share my story. My Olympic dream did not started when I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old in the church, staying with my family, my dad, my uncles and cousins and everybody. I was just as happy as I can be. The place that we know that is always, it's going to be peaceful. It's a celebration day. We go out, we're singing, dancing, and everything. All of a sudden, the troop of soldiers storm our under the tree church, order everyone to lay down. And they said all the kids have to be taken away from their family. I remember the whole beautiful place that we always think like is safe turned into chaos. I remember my mom run to me and grab me so close to her. And the soldiers were like, everyone lay down. We want all the kids. They were walking around. I was laying next to my mom, terrified. And a big, tall soldier came, ripped me from her. He was wearing all bullets all around his body, carrying a big gun. And as he was dragging me along, my mom ran and tried to save me. Soldier lowered the gun and said, one more step and I'll shoot. He dragged me to this car, the truck, with all other kids. We went to this truck and they piled us into this truck and they covered it with a canvas. I remember I had a barefoot sitting there. The bed of the truck was so hot that I could not be able to sit, to stand on my feet. I was stepping on other kids' feet to be able to elevate that burning. Crying. Everybody, all the kids are crying. And then we started driving away. We drove for about 3 or so hours in a rough road in South Sudan, and the truck stopped. The soldier came in and blindfolded us, everybody. So we sat there as they were unloading us from this truck, walking a single file. So we're walking, and other kids were like getting in line, they're getting beat. I remember somebody got beat like just behind me, and my body thought like the next beating is going to be me. Just still blindfolding, we walk single file. And all of a sudden, they shovel us into this a place eventually will be our prison camp. It's like a little small, a little hut. There is no light. It's so dark. There is a little bit of a lighting coming through the roof, the grass on the rooftop. Sat there with all these other kids. All I was thinking is like, why my parents they are not coming to save me? My childhood is completely disappeared. I had to learn to survive. And all of a sudden, the door opens and they throw the soldier threw a big kind of like a basin full of food, grain. It's called sorghum. And on this grain, they mix the grain with the sand. And a lot of kids like myself would be like, was so hungry, started eating a lot of all this food. I remember we had kids started biting on the sand, your teeth. And three of my friends which in my book I call them my angels because I don't know. I don't know their names. All they were telling me is like, they want to take care of me. They chose me from all other kids. They're going to take care of me. They said, Lopez, if you stay with us and don't eat food like those kids who are sleeping there, you'll be fine. Pick up a grain at a time. One piece at a piece. And you eat it, you drink the water, you'll be fine. I follow their rules. Other kids who were like eating a lot, the sand that they were eating could not digest in their stomach. And they ended up getting sick. And they started dying. So a soldier came in and said, why are we keeping these kids? Let's try to train the one that can be able to carry AK-47 to go to the front line. And three of them, they were 14 years old. They were strong enough. They were tall enough to be, like, taller than AK-47. Therefore, they had to go training. So they went training around. While I was weak, I was in a no good pile. So they shoveled me on that back in the prison camp. I have to witness the kids dying every single time. I have to see that. And the soldier will come in and drag them and go deposit them somewhere in the woods. And next day, a kid go and die. So three of his friends, while they were training out, they came back to the prison camp because they allowed them to come back to the camp, to the prison. They said they saw the hole on the fence while they were training around. And they came over to me and said, tonight, we are going to see your mother again. That was an incredible time of my life. And they didn't tell me how we're going to get there. But they know that I do talk a lot. I could have told everybody else. I do have a big mouth. So I just like completely forgot. While we were sleeping, they put me right in the middle, and then they're just protecting me the whole time. They picked me up. We started walking. They picked me up at the middle of the night. We started like huddling other kids who were sleeping because we didn't want to wake everybody up. We opened the door, and then one of them went through, the second one, and then me, and then the last one came, and we closed the door very slowly. And then we started crawling just around the prison. It was so dark. In Africa, it's like you don't see dark nights like that. Sometimes I have like stars and moon and things like that. But that night was just so dark. And we're crawling and crawling when we saw the soldiers who were supposed to be protecting us and watching over us, just talking on the other side. At 6 years old, I was looking and crawling and crawling, and one of them struck a match to be able to light up his cigarette. That was a picture I saw that night. It was a picture from the cigarette, like the match. And we started crawling and crawling. We went through this hole in the fence, and that's when my Olympic dream started. We started running for our lives. We were running. I don't know how far we ran, but I remember I was running with my toes, barefoot. I didn't know a tree was sitting there piercing through my foot, anything. We just ran, and we felt great. Ran and ran through the wilderness. 3 days, 3 nights, trying to go to the village. But we ended up running completely different direction. We ended up in Kenya, in the border guards arresting us. But these border guards was a little better because they were looking a little bit demeanor and their faces a little bit better. They were welcoming. They were asking us some questions. We didn't speak Swahili. We didn't speak English. We just speak our language. They said, let's send them to the Kakuma refugee camp where majority of the other refugees from all over the other countries spend their time. And we ended up in Kakuma. We spent about 10 years there. And life in Kakuma refugee camp was tough, really tough, because we ended up like we are just boys, young boys, taking care of the other young boys. You know, malaria can sometimes take away, you know, kill some of us, but we go out, we save, we go out and bury the dead, and we come out, regroup, and we continue. And the only thing that we for us to go forward is like we don't want to talk about the past. We want to talk about what we need to accomplish now and forward in the future. 2000, I was 15 at that time, and we saw, the first time I saw the TV was black and white TV operated by the car battery. And we went, walked about 5 miles, and I saw Michael Johnson run 400 meters in Sydney Olympic Games. And I saw that and it's like, how, there was another world somewhere. Running is actually something better. And I get motivated. I from that moment, I say, one day I would like to be an Olympian. One day I would like to be running for that country one day. And that's what motivated me to pursue my dreams as an Olympian. So from that point, in 2001, United States government wanted 3,500 let the lost boys to be resettled here in the United States. And that's when I got an opportunity to write my life story and send it to the American Embassy, and I was approved to come to the United States and flew for the first time on the plane, and I was adopted by the Gray family in upstate New York. At 16 years old, I have no word of English. Nothing. I was just sitting there relaxing and so happy. I thought I was already an adult, but I'm actually a kid, which is destined to go to school, which is destined to, you have to go to school. And that is something that I've been searching for the whole of my life, opportunity to go to school. Throughout my life, there is three main lessons that kept me going. The first one is don't be afraid to make mistakes. Failure is just a challenge to succeed next time. I remember when I was here, came to the United States, went to the beautiful house, a lot of lights. I never seen electricity. I never seen running water in the house. I never sleep in my own bed. And that the time when my parents put me to that bed and said, this is your room, this is your showers, that was the most important thing. I remember my parents showed me, like, this is how you take the showers. Because in Africa, we go to the river and swim and take showers. That's how we do it. And one day I went back to be able to take shower, and the shower was so cold. And it was so uncomfortable that I did not want to be part of that. I thought my parents were white, that they are taking shower in the cold water, therefore, like, they turned the color of their skin kind of turned white. So I didn't want to be white. So therefore, I need to boil my water. So those are the mistakes that I have to go through to be able to learn and adjust my life in this society. And number two is that you're not given opportunities. You make them. I'm so happy to be an American. This is the country of hard work. Make your dreams reality. When I came here, I always wanted to be an Olympian. And in 2008, that was the moment when I crossed the line in the Olympic trials. I made that team. I said, I'm no longer Lopez Lomón. I'm no longer a refugee. I'm an American. I'm an ambassador for this country. I want to give back to these people. I want to give back to American people who never give up on us, who still continue to help millions of other people all across the world. People like me, to be able to tell their stories in a big way. Give them education, give them health care, nutrition, clean water, things that we are born with. Some of us have to walk like miles to get those. But now it's time to be able to go out and reach the people and help them as much as we can. And number three, last one, is you have ability and responsibility to make difference. As we are all here, we are all from 60 different countries. We just hope we take our lessons and we take everything we learn from here and go out and inspire the world and change the lives of the people all across the world. And it takes us as family right now. We are family here. And it takes us to be able to go out and reach over those children, reach over those people who are still struggling, who are still running for their lives, and help them. Let's feed them. Let's go out and support them. Make them feel that kid to dream that one day will be an Olympian, one day will be a pilot, one day he can do anything he wants. And that's why I say, we all say, like, Daima Bele in Kiswahili, which means together we move forward. Together we can move the mountains. And I'm so happy to have an opportunity to come here. And thank you so much for having me today.